Reading from God's holy word, first we're reading from the prophet Zephaniah. It's like the only time we ever read from him. You ever wonder why we get lost with these prophets from long, long ago? Yeah, we find him on page 1466 in the back of our hymnals. We're in the third chapter. We're going to read the last few verses of his prophecy. They picked it out because they believe that it pertains to Jesus the Christ. We know that some of the prophecy he had in the first couple chapters did come to be, and so we believe this too will come to be. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feast I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth. I will restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." And our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. We read last week from the first chapter, and now this week we're reading from the fourth chapter. So that tells you that we're pretty much kind of done with Philippians, right? You get them twice, once every 3 years. Kind of fun. I wasn't around when they created the lectionary. Just offering editorial comments, all right? Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning at the fourth verse, going through the seventh verse. These are awesome. If you never remember anything from Philippians, please, please remember this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Powerful words. Our epistle lesson today comes from the gospel, our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Luke. We are in the third chapter. Last week we heard about the birth of John, who became known as John the Baptizer, John the son of Zechariah. And now we are reading about the work that he is doing. We're starting at the seventh verse. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers also asked him, "What should we do?" And John replied, "Do not extort money, And don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Messiah, the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We were talking this week at home about Palisade, Colorado. I know I mentioned it this summer, because they grow the best peaches in the whole world, right? And I was at Brennan Sellers this summer, and they had a very small shipment from Palisade, and I got them, and some of them were still just, you know, that day before ripe, right? You know? So you put them in the brown bag, and you check them 2-3 times a day, trying not to squeeze them and bruise them, and you just can't wait. You got to catch them when they're perfect, you know? Just get perfect. But I was reading this scripture from Luke, and he was talking about how we have to produce fruit, and John's telling us that we need to repent, we need to turn around and change the way we're behaving so that our fruit is good fruit, so that when God comes and makes the harvest, we will be part of the harvest, that which is kept. Wow. Vegetable gardening seems a lot easier, doesn't it? It's tough, though, especially if you grow zucchini. I always put out 2 zucchini plants in case one will fail, and it never happens. Never happens. Last year, my mom put out 3 zucchini because she learned how to make zucchini pickles, and she gave away zucchini bread and everything. Well, she missed some zucchini the year before, so she ended up with 8 zucchini plants. And you know, if you don't catch them when they're this big, this big, right? Like, it happens overnight. I got some zucchini to eat with hummus this week at the store, and instead of always having those cute little ones, they had the big ones, and I thought, some gardener somewhere in the Central Valley in California forgot to go pick one day and came back, and they were all oversized. It happens even to the commercial people. You have to stay on top of it. Otherwise, the green beans get stringy and seed-filled, and they don't taste like green beans, right? You have to monitor the garden. You have to be out there every day. You have to be vigilant. Get it right when it's ripened. That's what Advent is asking us to do. It's not about Christmas. It's about the second coming. It's about the fact that Jesus will come again. And with all who believe in him and with all whom he has gathered in, whom he deems to be part of the harvest, he will take them with him. And everyone else isn't invited. Advent is about reminding ourselves that we can get slack as Christians. We can start thinking of ourselves as, oh yeah, I believe, I've got it. I don't have to worry about it. It's about saying, no, you need to be vigilant. You need to stay on top of it. I made a phone call this week. I don't remember for what. I remember the way it went more than anything. You've done that maybe, right? You call the 800 number and they answer, but it's not a person, and they make you listen to really bad music. Sort of like if I was singing for them really, really bad music. And at 4.5 minutes, finally, they answered my call. You know, why don't they just say, leave your name and phone number. We'll call you back when we're available. Oh, well. I didn't design artificial intelligence either. 4.5 minutes, all of a sudden the person comes on. Excuse me, I'm not hearing you. I think we don't have a good connection. Can you hear me? Okay, I was starting to get kind of angry, and I could tell that the volume was going up on the other end, and that person was getting angry too, because they were speaking it, right? So I took a really audible breath, and I said, okay, I'm going to calm down. There's something between your volume and my volume or our cell connections. I'm going to check my end. Would you please check your end? So there's this pause, and all of a sudden this voice says, can you hear me now? Yeah, I can. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I didn't mean to be difficult. I know you were trying really hard. Thank you for fixing it. And then I took another deep, slow breath, and I could hear that the person at the other end of the phone line started mimicking me in the middle of my deep breath. And I said, okay, can we start again, please? That was really hard work on my part, because I like getting angry. I like blaming them for whatever it is I'm calling them for, even though it's a minimum wage job at some call center in a basement of a building somewhere that nobody really wants to do, but it's a job, right? It's not their fault. Whatever I was calling about wasn't working. And I imagine that that person had probably had a lot of angry phone calls that day. It is the time of stress, anxiety, overdoing, and short patience, right? Those are the times when we're maybe almost ripe and ready for the kingdom, but then we step back and we get angry, or we get frustrated, or we take it personal, or we make it about us, or we fail to understand what the other person might be going through. Are we ready for the kingdom? That's the question of Advent. That's the question that John the Baptizer was asking everyone. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you are, then you need to stay vigilant and you need to watch and you need to make sure that you're prepared at all times. I have not ever had one of those jobs that requires that you be hypervigilant for your whole shift. Maybe some of you have. But I can imagine how difficult it must be. Soldiers in battle, MPs on guard duty, the people who go up into the towers that guard the maximum security prisons, where they sit in that little 4x4 room for 8 hours watching everything, where 99.9% of the time nothing happens, but they have to be ready instantly for that one time. Police officers on stakeouts, patrolling the neighborhoods, checking things out, staying vigilant, remembering, looking for things that are normal and looking for that which is not normal. Questioning everything. You could have like that little brain wander, you know? Like some of us on Highway 14 where we go through Crafts Plains and the next thing we're in Black Earth and we don't remember how we got there. You know, that little lag, right? even something can happen, right? Be vigilant. Watch out, because if you miss something, it could be disastrous. Advent tells us to keep watch. But doesn't it get wearying to be always on guard, always watching, all day, every day, all night, every night? Don't you get tired of it? We're all sitting here as believers. Haven't we been watching our whole lives? And it still hasn't happened. The church has been watching for 2,000 years. And it still hasn't happened. Isn't it easy to kind of like relax, start coasting, not be as vigilant? Wondering, is this the end of our shift? Are we all done yet? But it's not the end of our shift, and we aren't all done yet. We do need to still keep watching. The good news is we do not watch alone. The good news is Jesus Christ is with us in spirit through the workings of God's Holy Spirit. We have companionship. We have a co-guard. We have somebody watching with us. We have someone who will be tireless when we are tired. We have someone who will carry the burden when we can't. We have someone who cares for our safety, who's always listening, always present, forever with us. Someone who's going to get that zucchini we might miss. Someone who's going to know when we're ripe and we're ready. Someone who's going to know that the fruit that we bear, the way that we carry Christ into the world, is how we will show that we're part of God's kingdom. And the days when we don't quite make it, that Holy Spirit will have grace and mercy for us, reminding us afresh and pouring out forgiveness. It's the most amazing thing. Kind of, in a way, more exciting than Christmas, isn't it? We give thanks to God that God's vigilance is greater than ours, and God's love and care for us is without end. Amen.